First, the near post, get there first, don't get there second, don't get there third. The near post, get there first, if it's for football news that you thirst. The near post, get there first.
Welcome to the near post. We are talking football across the Australian Community Radio Network. In case you haven't already noticed, no, Eamon Flanagan has not had a sex change over the past week. It is, in fact, me, regular Near Post chatterbox Lucy Zelich, hosting the show whilst Eamon is taking a break from both Paddy and I. Speaking of Paddy, he's with me in the studio tonight. Paddy Cake, welcome to the show.
Woo! Eamon who?
Yeah, Eamon who exactly? How was your Christmas, Paddy?
My Christmas was good. Bit of football, as much as I could fit in. Mm-hmm. You know, not only A-League, but also football from other parts of the world, dare
exactly.
I say it.
Which is all we've got going on at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. Look, I love the Boxing Day sort of Christmas period of football. It's fantastic.
It is great, isn't it? And there is a lot of it. Coming up in the first half hour, we've got some A-League news, Socceroos opinions and more. It is all here on the Near Post. If you've got any queries or would like to write in with some Paddy Bordier fan mail, you can do so.
Don't have enough space for the Paddy Bordier fan mail.
Our inbox is full. You can do so by emailing us on flanagan.eamon@gmail.com, or alternatively you can catch the podcast of the show on www.nearspot.blogspot.com and also on iTunes if you are too busy to listen to us live. Now, every week we do a show dedication, and this week we've chosen to dedicate it to our beloved A-League fans who, over the course of the past week, have turned up in droves to support their teams once again. Thank you to all the fans.
Huge.
Paddy.
Look, the crowds are fantastic. Mm. Even Gold Coast. topped the 10,000 mark. It's great, mainly, you know, Brisbane Roar supporters, but whatever, we'll take them.
We will take them, exactly.
It's good to see it, you know.
And I wonder what actually happened there. Was it, you know, a jolt in the system there that, you know, the fans decided to kind of come out, or was it the Boxing Day kind of thing where it was like, okay, you know, we've got not much to do, let's get out and watch some football?
It's the getting back, kicking back with your family, realising you really can't stand your family any longer and you need to get out. And the only sport going on is the cricket in Melbourne. So you go out to the A-League.
To catch the A-League. Yeah. And we really do appreciate it. It's fantastic to see that. And it's what this country needs regarding football. So, and much like our show dedications, we also do a quiz question every week. And I've got a real interesting one. And we're not going to give the answer away until we do our news wrap-up.
Okay, what's the question?
But the question is, what nationality is Kuwait coach Goran Tufekci?
Right, okay.
Yeah.
He's not Kuwaiti, is that right?
He's not Kuwaiti, no. Okay. That's the only clue that I will give you. And, you know, a tiny clue that I will give you, though, is Tufekcic, the last name. Now, you know, you hear a lot of European names with an itch on the end, so that could be a clue.
Yeah. I'm just going to say that your clues are not really, really helpful. But anyway.
I don't want to make them too helpful. I need you to struggle just a little bit.
Okay.
So we'll go straight into the news then.
Okay, let's go. News this week. Kalina fell to a knee injury late in the game against Brisbane Roar. It will cost him his place in the Socceroos game against Kuwait. The injury is not as bad as initially feared, and he's expected back for the game against Adelaide January 6.
Now, Paddy, what does that mean for them?
Well, if they lose Kalina, I think they're really going to struggle. They need that stability there. But the Socceroos as well, apparently, is touted as maybe playing the role of captain.
Interesting.
So missing out on the captaincy of the Socceroos, that's got to hurt.
Absolutely, definitely. Yeah. And I think he'll be really feeling that as well. But the fact that the injury is not going to take so long for him to heal and get back up and running is also a good thing.
Yeah, and a knee injury. When I heard the knee injury, I freaked out a little bit.
Because it could mean a number of things. It could mean an ACL.
It can be nasty. Permanent damage.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Central Coast fullback Heffernan was called to play in the squad against Kuwait in place of the injured Jason Kalina.
And I mean, I also read an article in The Australian the other day, it was on Monday actually, that said that, you know, he's been doing a lot of training with a retired boxer as well.
He credits him to getting back into form
and really, you know, starting to take things seriously and focus. So well done to Dean.
Good. And boxing training is good, you know, it's low impact on the knees, apart from the skipping, but you know.
Good. At least we know he'll be able to kind of take his own then if he gets into a defensive scuffle.
I thought you were going to say at least we know he'll be able to skip for long periods of time at speed. Both of those things he'll be able to do. Tommy Orr, 18 years old, is set to become the youngest Socceroo since Harry Kewell was selected against Kuwait on January the 6th. Go Tommy Orr.
Go Tommy Orr. And you know, it's so great to see it because we've always been talking about this on the show. It's cultivating our young blood and getting them out there and, you know, doing something to prepare us for the future of the Socceroos. So I think it's a step in the right direction.
I remember when I was a boy seeing Harry
Kewell.
Seeing Harry Kewell's debut. In Venables is Socceroos.
Yeah,
and
good old Terry Venables. Yeah,
I don't know that Orr is at Kewell's level. I mean, mm-hmm. Kewell had broken into the Leeds side then, and we're not talking the Leeds of now.
Yeah.
We're talking the Leeds of the Premier League being a very, very strong team.
Mm.
And he was fantastic. I don't want to put the pressure on Tommy Orr, and I know Tommy Orr listens and pays attention to each and every word. So, Tommy, relax. We don't believe you're the next Harry Kewell, but we believe you're a very, very good player with a good cross and some speed.
Absolutely, and that's what we need, definitely.
Talking of Harry Kewell, he has not yet signed a contract extension with Galatasaray, despite reports to the contrary.
What are the reports to the contrary?
Well, reports were that he'd signed up an extension with Galatasaray for the end, almost till the end of his career.
Mm-hmm.
So, the word from that, since that report came out in the media, was that he hasn't signed the extension, but it is a possibility and they're working towards it.
Mm. Because he's been doing good things at Galatasaray.
He's really been hitting some form.
If I'm going to be honest. Yeah. And I mean, he's almost scoring every game that
scoring
they've got.
Scoring goals.
And that's what we need. That's what we want.
Oh, that's what we need. That's what I asked for Christmas.
You hopefully got it.
Shane Huick is hoping to finally make his Central Coast Mariners debut 11 months after being signed and finally overcoming a serious knee injury.
Wow. So what does that mean for the Central Coast Mariners?
I'm not quite sure. He should provide a bit of depth. Central Coast Mariners is a pretty strong unit anyway.
Mm. The workhorses of the league is what I've always called them.
The workhorses of the league. Yeah. Bolton Wanderers of the league, I think I've called them, which
on numerous
steam
occasions.
Came out of Eamon's ears. I'm not quite sure what for. I didn't ask, but there was certainly steam.
Yeah.
Either he didn't like the analogy or he didn't like Bolton Wanderers. It's difficult to tell with Eamon. But anyway, the Bolton Wanderers of...
the Bolton Wanderers of the A-League.
I think so. We'd be more successful probably than Bolton Wanderers. The Celtic of the A-League?
The Celtic. I like that. The Celtic of the A-League. Although Eamon would be very upset with you for saying that.
It won't be days until he listens to this on the podcast.
Where are you, Eamon, to defend yourself?
I can start running now. Anyway, who would win between Bolton and Celtic? So that's a conversation for later on.
Nil all.
See these cheap shots, but they're amusing. Richard Garcia from Hull has a message to Pim Verbeek. His message is, I'm ready if you want me. Garcia is expected to make his seventh successive start for Hull against Arsenal on Sunday morning.
Is he ready?
Listen, he's been playing really well.
Yeah.
Consistency. I saw him on the weekend.
Yep, and I think he's really trying to make his mark now. You can see that he's almost got this newfound zest and he's come out there with a certain level of passion, which is what they need.
I like that depth in the Socceroos. Yeah. We really, really need that.
Absolutely.
If we have two or three injuries, we're gone for.
Yeah, we're really struggling. And and that's something to worry about, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so. Like I say, I think the injuries to key players would put us right down at, dare I say, New Zealand level, at least with the same amount of resources they have.
Mm.
So we need that depth. And Richard Garcia, okay, he doesn't light the pitch alive when he plays, but he's a Premier League player, used to playing at that level, players of good quality.
Yeah.
This is the depth that we need. Mm. This is what we need on the bench. I don't think he could break into the 11, but I'd love to see him on the bench.
Yeah, it would be something for us, definitely.
Sydney FC is now 3 points clear of Melbourne at the top of the table.
Wow. They've
picked up 7 out of possible 9 points from 3 games in 8 days.
Wow, Sydney would be happy with that.
Consistency.
Finally.
Yeah. And what are Melbourne doing? Have they,
What are Melbourne doing? I mean, we'll talk about the results soon.
Drop their momentum?
But, I mean, that's a surprise because we've always said, a couple of weeks ago, that's when they start to kick into gear. And, they're almost infallible. You don't really see much of them start to struggle or lose against the particular kind of team that they did lose to. So it's interesting, absolutely.
Is this a blip or the beginning of the end? Or an overstatement for me? One of those. Perth Glory coach Dave Mitchell will re-sign defender-cum-striker Jamie Harnwell, but he will be not re-signing crowd favourite and Ivory Coast target man Eugene Daddy.
I did hear Dave Mitchell came out in a conference and he also mentioned that, and he said that, look, you know, whether or not he breaks into the team, we don't know, but he has had interest that's been expressed from an overseas team. So, you know, that might be more of an appealing option for Eugene to take.
And he hasn't played for a while, but he's a good striker. Mm. I really like him, and I wish he'd come to the A-League when he was younger.
Absolutely.
I think he could have had a major impact. He's a big guy, a good touch.
Mm, very
strong
much
lead
so.
The line. But also, with Jamie Hunt, well, you've got that as well.
Mm.
And he's a local boy.
Mm, so absolutely, yeah.
And I can understand why they're going with... I don't know, it's a straight swap, but Harnwell over Daddy.
Mm, and also, like I was about to say now, I mean, you know, if he's got an interest from overseas, that's obviously going to be a more lucrative offer, so that's something that's going to lure him even more. So, yeah. And, I mean, that's the news for this afternoon. And for all the latest football banter, humour and opinions, head to www.halftimeheroes.com.au with input from some of the country's best football writers.
Best football writers.
Best football writers, absolutely.
Alrighty. What was that quiz question again?
I'm going to throw the quiz question at you again because I fear that you might not even know it. It is, what nationality is Q8 coach Goran Tufegzic?
Ah, Goran. Well, I'm going to go Croatian. Just throwing it out there.
Oh, you're
going to
go Croatian. Very close. Former Republic of Serbia, okay? We used to be involved with Serbia.
Right, yes.
So you're very close there, but it is actually Serbia.
Serbian.
You get a lot of the itches on either end there, the Croatian and the Serbian sides, but he is, he's been there since May of this year.
Right, okay.
So, and you know, looking to do some great things with him, obviously.
Do you know a bit about his background?
I don't know too much about his background, no, unfortunately.
Right.
But it seems as though he's kind of happy where he is at Q8. I've read a couple of things from him, and he's looking to kind of, you know, bring in some of that European influence with him and see what he can do with them tactically.
Canny. I think he's canny.
Yeah. And
Q8, they're not easy beats.
They're not easy beats. But one thing that was interesting to me was Simon Colosimo, who was also, you know, Vince Colosimo's cousin. He's also captured the interest of Pim Verbeek as well, and he's gotten the call up. And he mentioned that he does owe it all to Popovic, who is the assistant coach at Sydney FC.
Right.
And he may be moving down to Melbourne Heart because they haven't offered to extend his contract. But
He owes it all to Popovic. Popovic came along fairly late in his career.
He said he does owe it to Popper.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it was. And there was an interview with him in the Daily Telegraph, and he said, you know, I really feel that I should credit a lot of what's happened with me lately to him. So he said, you know, that he was coming to training sessions a lot earlier and asking him a few questions, and he said, you know, I was really hammering with all of the questions that I was asking him about my preparation. But he said, you know, he's done absolute wonders.
Wow.
So Simon actually came out and said something that was interesting, and it ties in with what you mentioned there. He said, you know, I was there at the game in Canberra when I watched, you know, Australia take on Q8, and he said, you know, Q8 are quite good. Now, my theory is on this, that I don't actually think they are quite good.
Oh, all right.
Now, the only
sit back and listen to this.
The only reason I don't think they are quite good is because, for a start, they played a very, very understrength Socceroos team, okay?
Who hadn't played before.
Who hadn't played together before. Yeah, together
I
before.
Grant you that.
There was no cohesion whatsoever, and it was largely made up of an A-League side team. So when you're looking at numbers like 101 on the back of a player's jersey, that's got to make you wonder what kind of a side we have going in there. So I don't know. I think that if we do have
some squad players, I will admit that.
You know, if we do have a good-sided Socceroos team, then I'm sure that we can go the distance and actually really bring it to the Q80s when it comes around.
Yeah. I think my big thing with Asia is I think we underestimate Asian teams a lot.
We always have.
And it's certainly in the media and in the by the media. I'm talking about the sort of commercial channels that who don't have maybe the best informed commentators or even sports news readers sort of just assuming that we're going to run through these Asian teams, and it's just not happening.
Yeah.
Look at the Asian Cup when we played. You know,
I agree.
If that wasn't lesson enough, it's been repeated time and time again. These guys aren't easy bits. If we get through, it'll be by one or two goals alone.
So it should be very interesting, but we do wish them all the luck, and we will be doing a preview show next week when Eamon does return, if he does want to return. Now on to A-League results, though. In one of the biggest shocks of the round, the North Queensland Fury beat Melbourne Victory 1-0. What did you think about that one?
I know. What? That,
What an upset for them. I mean, I know it's only 1-0, but still, you know, going down to a team of that calibre and, you know, Melbourne Victory, when everybody thinks of them, they are the Victory of, you know, the A-League. Yep. So,
and they were on a roll as well.
Yeah.
You know, and this is a big result. Big result for Fury.
Absolutely.
We were, I think, certainly at the beginning of the season, hoping that Fury would win more and more of their home games. Mm. And I think it's a classic example of that. But, yeah, look, Fury, and they had a reasonably big crowd as well, 7,000 or so, and it was just great to see. Just great to see these guys who are, where are they? They're down on the bottom of the table. Mm-hmm. They certainly spend a fair bit of time down there beating the top team.
Yeah.
It's great to see. And
absolutely.
The A-League delivers that.
And the A-League needs that as well. Bit of an upset always gets the crowds out there. Now, moving on from that, Sydney took home 3 points after a 1-0 victory over Adelaide.
Yeah.
Steve Corica.
Yeah, Steve Corica. How old is he? He's like
53.
Yeah. Seriously. That man. And he still keeps going. He's doing some... And good football too.
Yeah, it was absolutely very interesting to watch. And I mean, even though it was just a low-scoring game, I still thought that it was an even battle right up until that goal came.
Yeah, yeah. And a high-paced game as well.
Absolutely.
I think Sydney have become a very ruthless team. And once they get a goal, they're very consistent. Then they slow up the game and they hold on for those 1-0 leads. They do that really well now. I thought Carol Kissel played really, really well.
Mm-hmm.
Down the left, Brosk as well, cut them open a fair bit.
Yeah.
Sydney really caused them some problems. Mm. And Adelaide struggled. I heard Vidmar at the end of the game, his post-match comments, sort of saying that they lacked that class and that finish in the attacking third, and I think he's right.
Mm.
They've played Leckie there a bit. I think Leckie's a young player, but I don't think he's a goal scorer. I don't see
he's
him
not a
goal
scorer. No, I definitely agree with you
and
on that
right
one.
He's right up in the front line almost each and every time. And I think, why not put him up on the wing where, you know, he can develop
create
like
more
Tommy
problems.
Like Tommy Orr.
Like Tommy Orr. We love you, Tommy Orr. We hope that you're listening. Another shock came from Perth Glory's. Another shock came from Perth Glory's 4-0 shellacking over the Newcastle Jets.
You say shock, I say yawn.
Yawn? Why yawn?
Another Perth Glory victory. Did you think it would be any different?
I did. I thought that, you know, with
the Newcastle. Maybe 5-0.
With the way that the Jets have been going, you know, I thought they're showing some consistency. And I even remember last week, I did predict that the Jets would come and they would take the victory over them as well. Because we all know Perth's form, it hasn't been that good. So
it was something else, actually. Perth really, really did well. The whole Newcastle, they were on a roll, but they have lost their key men up front. Vignaroli, Bridge, these are big players for them.
And they're the ones that are creating the opportunities and getting some goals in. So that's obviously what's the problem.
So, look, I'd like to see them come back, but it's going to be difficult to find that form again.
Mm, absolutely. Gold Coast United trounced Brisbane Roar.
Trounced.
5-1. And a special mention has to go to Blabby Blyberg, who came out in the press conference saying, game, set, and match, in his famous accent. So good on you there, Mirren.
Nice, nice. Look, one all at halftime.
Yep.
Could have gone either way. And then Gold Coast came out firing.
What happened there? I mean, what was said in the change rooms, or did they come out there with a completely new mindset? Paddy, you watched the game. What do you think?
I don't know. I don't know that there was a massive difference. I know that, well, I could see that they really targeted Zulu.
Mm-hmm.
And Zulu's been playing back in the left back for a couple of games now.
Yeah.
And he's not natural left back. And I think that's perhaps the position for him, but he's going to need time to develop. And he really was taken to school on the weekend. Mm. He really, really was. And Gold Coast just ripped through. Reece scored two and one nice little touch with his foot. It was really quick, and I didn't expect much to
happen, but there it was. It was just a little flick of the foot, and in it went.
And then Schmelz, a hat-trick.
Yeah,
absolutely. I think that's the golden boot for him.
Yeah, the golden boot. It would be nice. Yeah. I've seen that you've got in our little wrap that we're going to do shortly that you've got a few questions about Shane Schmelz and finding out whether or not, you know, he deserves to perhaps, you know, earn that golden boot.
Well, I reckon he does. I think he has been firing. And the question is, and we'll discuss it later, if Shane Schmelz was an Aussie, where would he sit in the Socceroos?
Where would he sit in the Socceroos? It's just a shame that he's not. And also, just a slight mention has to go to Sydney, who also defeated the Central Coast Mariners 1-0 in an earlier match last week. So they had a double header, but they did very well. And for me, it was kind of no surprise as well that they took out the victory there.
Yep. 2-1-0. You know, Sydney are becoming that sort of team.
Absolutely. The final fixture for round 21 kicks off this Thursday when the Central Coast Mariners take on the Wellington Phoenix at Blue Tongue Stadium. And the only reason why we have one more game left, as we know, is because there is no other A-League football on for the weekend courtesy of the New Year break.
Yeah.
Predictions?
I think, if you look at all of the games this round went to home teams. And I suspect that the big crowds had something to do with it. Mm-hmm. And if Central Coast Mariners can bring in a big crowd, I reckon it'll be very difficult to beat them. So I think Central Coast.
Mm. And they always do very well at Blue Tongue, don't they? Yeah. They've got a good record there. Yep. So there really should be no hard feat for them to win that one as well. And we will cover the rest of those rounds next week when Eamon rejoins the show. So now, Paddy, your question about Shane Smeltz.
Yeah.
Do you think he would seriously have a chance in the Socceroos squad?
Well, Archie Thompson, a player of similar level and similar goal-scoring ability, got a fair run in the Socceroos, certainly around the Hiddink era. I think he's struggled a bit since he's been in the A-League, but I think Smeltz is of that quality.
I believe
and
so. If not, even better. I was just about to say.
And what are the Socceroos missing?
A finisher. And we've always said, you know, we spoke about it last week as well, that Archie always needs, you know, several hundred chances until he actually puts that final goal away. Yes. So it's a good thing. And it's unfortunate that he's not Australian.
It's crazy. Is there any way we can claim him? Do we have enough time?
We don't have enough time. And if you wanted
Wasn't
to cross
born
over,
on the Gold Coast? I thought he was born on the Gold Coast.
He was born on the, Gold Coast. You'd like to think that he would be going back to his original roots, but obviously not.
Come on, Shane, think it through. Really, who's going to go further, us or the Kiwis?
And what about Harry with Galatasaray as well?
And his contract finishing up. Look, I don't know if. You know, he's playing well at Galatasaray, but I worry about Galatasaray is a big, big club and quite a ruthless club. And I worry that if he at any point has a dip in form, he's going to be dropped from that team and that squad fairly quickly.
Mm.
And then we're going to have, you know, one of our key Socceroos just not playing.
Mm.
So I'd like to, you know, as much as it sounds strange, I'd like to see Harry Kewell move to a team where he is guaranteed a game.
Mm. And we'll win.
And guaranteed, you know. A coach that will take it easy on his injuries.
We haven't seen
them come up for a while, but he's got this season. Then he's going to play the World Cup, so he won't have much of a break. It's going to be really difficult for him to push through.
And he does have problems with injuries, but the question that I want to pose is, so if he doesn't re-sign with Galatasaray, where is he going to go? Where is he most suited to? We've seen him do really well in Turkey. I don't know if he's willing to go back to the English Premier League. You know, is Asia a possibility?
You reckon Asia? I was thinking maybe France.
Maybe France?
France is a nice place. Come on, Kewell.
But we're not talking about the place. We're talking about the standard of football here, Paddy.
Yeah, and I think also France is probably a lower standard of football.
But where is he most suited to? So if we scrap off the English Premier League and Turkey, you know, where could he go?
I think he's suited to, I guess leagues that allow for a player to not be going 100% all games. Mm-hmm. I have some playmakers, if you will. And I think even as, you know, I say France, but also the Spanish league is a little bit like that. It's a hard-working league and there's some great play there, but there's also that understanding that a playmaker can be somebody whose focus is entirely on setting the ball up and not necessarily on carrying out defensive duties that the rest of the team carries out.
Mm.
So I'm thinking maybe a team or a league that has that sort of philosophy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, well, I don't know about Asia. Like, I don't know whether there are, you know, in the Japan League. I don't see the Japan League as that. I see that as certainly that style of play is very hectic, 100% kind of play. So I think maybe in it, yeah. Look, I really, honestly,
what about
truly,
German,
France,
Italian, Spanish leagues? You know, what about those other
honestly,
options?
I think Spanish league is a good go.
I was about to say, I think that Spanish league would suit his pace. And I think as a player, I think he'd be able to benefit from it a lot more so than where he is. So.
I think it's about that. For me, not so much the league, it's about the team. And it's about a manager knowing that they can't push him all the time and they've got to take his injuries into account because he's not a young kid anymore.
Absolutely.
And those injuries are going to flare up again. Just you know, fingers crossed they don't come up during
that
the World
they
Cup.
Don't, absolutely. Because that's when you think about it, that's what caused him all of his troubles in the English Premier League. Yeah. Now, the January exodus. Who should go in the January transfer window to keep their Socceroo chances alive? It's been a buzz in the media recently. And you know, with a lot of players kind of thinking, well, you know, should I keep playing? Or there are a few players that are wanting to transfer over. But Pim's saying, look, you know, if you want a chance to actually play with the Socceroos, you need to rethink whether or not you want to transfer out or stick with your A-League team.
Yeah, Pim's been really honest about it.
He has.
And I think that that's an important thing. It's no good pretending that this is not the case if that's the way he feels. Interestingly, Brosk and Colosimo have come out and said that they're sticking with Sydney, and I don't know whether something happened within Sydney where they were told that they weren't going to be let go.
Yeah.
But I don't think sticking with Sydney is that bad an idea for them. Mm-hmm. Sydney is a team that will more than likely make certainly a long run into the finals.
That's right.
So they're going to have a lot of football and they're going to be good with that. It's teams that are going to drop off and maybe not make the finals.
Mm.
And the players within those teams, and dare I say Perth Glory, Stojowski and Burns, for example, and even Brisbane Roar, now our beloved Tommy Orr.
Mm.
You know, they're guys that really need to decide. And the January period, is it? Moore's talked about it, you know, quite honestly and frankly, and said that he'll be looking for a team in the January transfer window.
Mm-hmm.
I think Orr has really got to be looking that way as well.
That's right.
And, you know, Perth, so you're going to have two teams, say Perth and Brisbane, they're really going to struggle because their key players have just gone.
Mm, absolutely. Yeah. What about Aurelio Vidmar? He came out also in the media.
I don't think he's going to make the squad.
He came out in the media and actually said, you know, with regards to, you know, the selection for the squad, you know, for the World Cup, he said that, you know, that Pim Verbeek should not look any further than Eugene Galekovic. Yes, Eugene Galekovic. Now, what do you think about that? He's been very consistent, on form, things like that. You know, is there a reason why he should or should not be selected, Paddy?
Is he the best keeper in the A-League?
I would have to agree with it slightly.
Yeah, I would have to. The stats show that Vukovic is having a better season.
He is having a great season, and I think it would be a toss-up between them two. Yeah. But, you know, I really would tend to lean towards Eugene.
Yeah, look, honestly, I think Eugene Galekovic has been outstanding, and more importantly, when he played Champions League in Asia, he was absolutely amazing.
On fire.
He really, really kept, at times, dragged Adelaide through some of those games.
Yeah, and look, even with their loss over the weekend, I mean, he made some incredible saves there, so the result could have been a lot higher than what it was. But
so are you saying him as the backup to Schwarzer?
Him as the backup, yeah.
Yeah?
I would put him as the backup. I mean, I'd like to think that Danny would be capable, but I still think that maybe he's...
Yeah, I think Danny's a bit too young.
He's a bit young, that's what I also wanted to say, and I think that, you know, going up against, you know, international teams, I think that Eugene has got just that little bit more. If he is called up to, you know, take place, God forbid, for Schwarzer, then I think that, you know, he would be able to kind of hold his own.
So why did our Pim pick Tendo Flappy over Bolton, for example?
That was interesting because Clint Bolton is also he's also going to be going through the transfer window, but he won't be going to any international clubs. He'll be transferring down because they're not choosing to re-sign him also.
Oh,
as
right,
Sydney.
Okay.
Yeah,
I didn't know that at all.
Yeah, that's,
they're choosing
that's
not
little,
to re-sign.
Yeah, that's a little secret there that I've let out. But he's not going to re-sign. I think he might be going down south as well to the Melbourne Heart. Not entirely sure about that, but that's something that's also come up to on the chat box there.
Right.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it's tough as well. To keep players in the A-League, that's always been a struggle, and it's something that we're seeing with every season that goes on. You know, we wonder if we'll be able to hold on to them or if we're letting them go to international clubs.
Yeah, yeah. And now it's a massive point because it's going to ruin the season of some of those clubs.
Mm, absolutely, definitely. Well, you know what? That's just about all we have time for tonight. Thank you to football knowledge extraordinaire Paddy Bordier for joining us.
And thank you to football generally, I thought you were going to say, and I agree to that.
And to all the fans as well, we were so thrilled to see that the crowds are up. We would always like to see a kick. From all of us here at the Near Post team, we wish you a safe and happy new year. But all, as always, if you were going to the Near Post...
Get there first. All news that you thirst, the Near Post, get there first.